Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour has been going now for almost 38 years, and we have three things in mind: to glorify God, to help the sinners, the lost, to come to Jesus and be born again, and to comfort the saints, the people that are shut-ins, people that are having troubles, people that are, the devil just afflicts so many of the people of God, and we want to bring comfort. Comfort ye the Lord. Comfort ye the people, saith the Lord. That's our business. And so today we're going to be talking about the vine and the branches. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 15, but chapter 15. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. You know, we get so many nice letters, and I want to thank you for writing. And I hope more of you will write and let us know who you are and where you are. And if you have a question, or if you'd like to hear something on some subject or something like that, I would just love to hear from you. And so I'm going to share some of the letters that we have. And here, the first one I've got is, well, it comes from a wonderful, wonderful place, Salem, Oregon. And it's from a prisoner. And, you know, we hear from prisoners, I don't know how many, but we hear from all over the United States. And one federal prison, we hear from 14 different prisoners. And we put them on our mailing list, and they get our little booklet, a little paper every month entitled the New Song. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But this is from Salem, Oregon, a prisoner. Thanks for being my church in prison. Enclosed is my love offering for your ministry. May God bless you and your board or team with many more years of fruitful ministry in Christ's love. And so we do pray for those who are incarcerated. And but there are many that are Christian people, know the Lord. And so we always encourage them. St. Paul was in prison, and he witnessed for Jesus in prison. And so just witness for the Lord. You can be a missionary there. That's maybe your place where you can really shine, bring somebody to know the Lord and find hope. Here's Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've been watching your service for a long time after I had both knees replaced. I could not get out to church anymore. I do so enjoy it. I never miss a Sunday. I lost my daughter in May, and your sermons are so comforting. I call you my church home now. I pray for you and the staff every day. I hope your service will continue. I'd really be lost on Sunday if I couldn't listen to the service. I enjoy the music. I am 97 years old. Can you believe that? 97. I'm jealous of this lady. And I'm just, but here she is. And she just chipper, knowing the Lord and loving the Lord. And so you can maybe write to us and let us know where you're at and where your situation. Here's Tupelo, Mississippi. My great-granddaughter was here when you preached, and she said amen. She's only 2 years old. When your program comes on, off goes the game. Boy, I bet that makes some of the men happy when they turn off the game and they get that preacher on there. But in the long run, you'll be way ahead of the game if you watch the preaching of the Word of God. But isn't this nice? Here's a little two years old, little granddaughter, and she says, amen. Now, we do preach in such a way that even the children can understand, and we get letters from children all the time, and they can understand because we preach in a way that all the children can know exactly what we're preaching about. And you know what we're doing? We always use the Bible. We just saturate every service with the Word of God, with the Bible, because that's where the power is. Here's one from Anchorage, Alaska. And they write, I was sick and listened to your message in Anchorage, Alaska. I have known the Lord as my Savior for 70 years. Your message lifted me up. May God truly bless your efforts to spread his gospel throughout the country. And so that's what we're doing. But we know we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your gifts. and we're going to put our address on there in just a minute. But I want to tell you something we publish. We have a little booklet, 20 pages long, and it's a booklet on if a Christian commits suicide, can he go to heaven? And the answer is yes, indeed. And it's all scripture. And so maybe if you know someone who has a suicide in their family or their loved ones, and maybe in your own family, I know I have in my family, and so this is hope. It's not that I, you know, died and went to heaven and came back or had visions or dreams. It's just the scripture. Just the scripture. Read it for yourself, and you just can't draw any conclusion. But what if a person commits suicide, they belong to the Lord. It's all taken care of, all settled. So, and then we have a little paper that we put out called The New Song, The New Song. And it's a Bible study. And this little Bible study this week is The Promises of God, just wonderful for January. And then it has the scriptures, the sermon topics and the scriptures, excerpts from letters. You'll just love it. Free and post page. Well, we really should charge a subscription price, but we don't do that. We're just so big-hearted we can't do it. And we'll send it free and postpaid. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002-57401. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57401. 402, I guess it is. I get all those numbers mixed up, but just put Aberdeen, South Dakota. I'm sure we'll get it. So I hope that you'll write and let us know who you are and just a little about you. But we're going to look at this story that Jesus gave about the vine and the branches, and how that we are to bear fruit. And he draws many good lessons from it. And I know you're all probably familiar with it. But he starts out by saying, I am the vine. So he's saying that Jesus is the trunk. He's the main stem. And everything originates from that vine, originates from the trunk. It comes from the trunk. And you see the same picture of the head and the body. Jesus is the head. We're members of the body. All the directions comes from the head. It's all centered in the head, and then directed it through the body. And so that's what we have here. We're dependent on the head. So Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, he said. And so there's a very close union with Christ. We're a part of him, and he's a part of us. It is Christ in us, and we are in Christ. We're entwined together. It's like a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the sponge in the water or is the water in the sponge? Both. And that's how closely tied we are. And that's what he's telling you. And so St. Paul says the same thing. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The vine and the branches show cooperation and oneness of purpose so that the fruit can be born. Jesus is the vine. Believers are the branches. And it's interesting to notice that these branches in and of themselves are of no value. The branches are of no value. William Barclay comments on this. He says, further, the wood of the vine has the curious characteristic that it is good for nothing. It is too soft for any purpose. At certain times of the year, it was laid down by the law. The people must bring offerings of wood to the temple for the altar fires. But the wood of the vine must not be brought. The only thing that could be done with the wood pruned out of a vine was to make a bonfire of it and destroy it. And so it is with us. We are the branches, and there is no good thing in us. We are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And there's no value in it at all. And we'll all sin and come short of the glory. And so all that we can accomplish is anything we can do because we're tied to that trunk, to that main trunk. We're tied to Christ. And when we're tied to Christ and when we're a part of him, then there's value in us and we do things and we accomplish things. But in and of ourselves, we can't do it. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. The branches then are only good for two things, bearing fruit or burning in the bonfires. Bearing or burning. That's all the branches are good for. The branch has no life in and of itself. And if it's cut off from the trunk, it dies. It has no source of strength. And so we have no spiritual life outside of Jesus Christ. And if we're not united with Jesus Christ, you have no spiritual life and you're spiritually dead and you're hell bound. And so when we are dead, we're cut off from the Lord. And so we have to come to Jesus and have to ask him to come into our heart and take away our sins. You could do that right now. Maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you somewhere in the world. We're all over the world with a message. Somewhere, someplace, maybe many places, multitudes, maybe millions. Who would ever know? The Holy Spirit is saying you can't make it on your own. You're damned. You're forever if you're on your own. You have to have Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Call on Jesus right now. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I'll turn from my evil ways, and I'll serve you the best I can as my Lord and my Savior." And then thank him, because you're born again. You're a child of God. There are people that try to get spiritual life through other ways. They have rituals, they have baptism, they have church membership, and they have good works and self-denial and all of these things. But I must confess that we are weak and we are sinful and we have no good thing in us. And then we come to Jesus, like some of you maybe have done right now. I know somewhere some people are doing that. And so Jesus speaks to the little band of disciples. He's not talking to the multitudes now. He's just talking to his little band of disciples. And he says in verse 4, if you're following along, John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." He's telling us we have to continue in him. We have to abide in him. Well, how do you abide in Jesus? How's that done? Well, I'll tell you how it's done. It's done by reading your Bible. It's about worshiping God. It's about going to a church where they preach the Bible. It's about meditating on God's word. It's about prayer to God. It's about sacrificing for God's work. It's about serving others and helping others. Let me tell you, abiding in Christ is the most joyful way we can possibly live. And you don't have real peace and joy and happiness. You don't know what it's all about. If you don't have Jesus, you're blind spiritually. And you have to open your heart to the Savior and ask him to come in. As many as received him, you can receive Jesus. Somebody says, "Well, I don't know how to receive him." Well, how do you receive anybody? They knock on your door. What do? You open the door and say, "Come in, please come in." That's what you do. Don't get fancy. Just talk in your own words. And then he goes on and he says, the Father in heaven is the husbandman, or he's the vine dresser. He's the one in charge of taking care of the vine. He's the one that purges or prunes the vines so there'll be more fruit. Pruning or chastening is not a pleasant experience. And when God has to deal with us, sometimes it hurts. Many times it hurts. And sometimes Christians are so inconsistent. And they will say, "Oh, I want to be more fruitful." So God says, "Well, then I have to prune on you a little bit." So he pushes a little bit, and then they're crying around. God isn't treating them right. Where'd you come from anyway? That's why we chasten our children and spank our children and deal with them so that they become to love the Lord. That's why my mother washed my mouth out with soap so that I wouldn't say slang words. I couldn't say gosh and dang, and she was on my neck. God bless her. I thank God for her. Taught me some lessons at 94 years old. I haven't forgotten them a bit, not a bit. The vine dresser works then. He prunes in two ways. He cuts off the dead wood because it can breed disease and insects. And he cuts away the living wood so that it'll bear more of that vine. That's what he does. So God deals with, he prunes with us. He's doing it for us a great favor when he does that, because he is making us better and more fruit bearing. And thank God for it when he chastens us and spanks us and deals with us. He loves us. What does he say? He says, Warren Wiersbe says, your heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he's pruning you. So there's the cycle here. The more we abide in Christ, the more we yield fruit, and the more he prunes us, and the more we produce to the glory of God. And so this Lord Jesus Christ talks about this. And he tells us then there'll be fruit. And so there's a time to plant and grow and cultivate and all the rest. But here comes the fruit. And what is the fruit anyway? Well, the fruit could be come in many different ways. For instance, it could be winning people to Christ, like in Romans 1:13. It could be helping in the harvest, like John 4:35. It could be sowing in holiness, growing in holiness and obedience, Romans 6:22. It could be through a dedicated life. It could be the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It could be the good works that we're doing to help other people, service to others, praising God, and many other ways. So the purging and the pruning takes place. And before we leave this portion of the scripture, I want to give you a verse that's been misinterpreted 1,000 times over. And it's verse 6. And it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And so I have to say, people say, well, say you can be saved and you can be lost, because here it says you're cut off and you're burned. Now, when the scripture says, rightly divide the word of truth, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So read it. And you know what you're going to read? Your first thing you're going to find out, Jesus isn't talking about being saved at all. He's talking about bearing fruit. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about whether you're saved or lost. He's talking whether that branch is serving him, whether we're bearing fruit. But he hasn't a thing to do with this, our salvation. We're saved because we have received Jesus Christ, and we will never be lost. But we may lose our service. We may be of no value to Christ. Instead of silver and gold and precious stones, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll amount to nothing. St. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He says that he strives to live the good life and serve Christ because he doesn't want to be a castaway. And so they, oh, he's a castaway. Now, all he's talking about is service. And when there's a castaway, it means that God doesn't use us. He sets us aside. Out on the farm, we had a junkyard. And out on that junkyard, we had a car. And we used to ride with the car, and then it wasn't any good, and we put it in the junkyard. It's still a car. It isn't a boat, or isn't an airplane, or isn't a cow or a horse. It's a car, but it's a car that's out of service. But it's still a car, and you're still a child of God, but you're out of service. So get that straight. I've heard it so many times, it gets tiresome. And so God says that he wants us to trust him and love him. And so then he says, I want you to work with other people, and I want you to serve others and help other people and guide and direct them and be a blessing to people. This commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. And again in verse 17, these things I command you, you love one another. Some people call this the 11th commandment, and it's a good one. But Jesus tells us here that we're to love each other and love one another. Now, I've been in the ministry in 71 years, going on 72 years I've been preaching. And people say, well, you should be able to do a better job. I said, listen, y'all should have heard me when I started. I made lots of progress. But people will say, oh, you can't command people to love people. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. What does God say in the commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You say, I don't feel like it. Feelings don't have a thing. Emotions don't have a thing about it. It's the will. You make up your mind. I'm going to love my God above all things, and I'm going to love my brother and my sister, and he's a cantankerous, and he gets under your hide, and it drives you crazy. But you have to love him, and you can love him, and you better do it. And that's what Jesus says. He says you have to put, but he says, even though they're your enemies, look at what Jesus did in Romans 5, verse 10. If When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved unto His life, by His life. And so while we were the enemies of God, we were reconciled to God, and He brought us together, so we will serve together, and then we can bear that fruit. And this fruit will remain. The fruit that remains comes because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit works through us. And when that wonderful Word of God is used all over the world, being preached all over the world, and it becomes so powerful and wonderful that these dear brothers and sisters in Christ and in other countries, parts of the world, lose their head, are beheaded for Christ's sake, and are tortured and punctured, put through every imaginable torture they can do, and they stand true to God. But the Holy Spirit will help us. So then He talks about the world, and Jesus tells us in the world you're going to have tribulation. He says if the world is going to hate you, Christian people. He says in the 18th verse, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. The world hates me. The world will hate you, Jesus saying. They hated me and crucified me, and they're going to hate you. And right now the world is laying careful plans to kill Him. He's going to the cross. The world's going to crucify Him. And Jesus is saying that world is there, and that world is never going to change. It's always anti-God and anti-Christ. You see, when you talk about the world, you can talk about three different things. You can talk about the world as a creation. God created the heaven and the earth. Or you can talk about the world as people, the people in the world. And that's just as God so loved the world, He loved the people. Or you can talk about the world and in their society. And you can talk about how that they are, what they teach and their culture and where their stand is. And it is all anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian. And the world will hate us. And Jesus warned us for that, because why does the world hate us anyway? And Jesus says they hate you because they don't know the Father. They don't know God. And that's why they hate you. And you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He's talking about this world system, the organization, the philosophies, the purposes, the culture, all of it anti-Christ, and we're to stem the tide, and we're to live for Jesus Christ in that society that is set apart. So God says, don't be conformed to this world. Refuse to conform to this world. The world will hate us. That's what happened with Jesus. He didn't conform to the world. He stood against the sins of the world and the evil of the things of sins of the world. And when we see people working, doing terrible things and evil things, and we stand against them, it's a reprimand, and they don't want to be reprimanded by God or anybody else. And they rule God out of their heart and God out of their picture. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called upon to step out and be conformed not to this world. Romans 12, verse 2. We are told we are to become the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We are to become the salt of the earth. And when you put salt on things, it stops corruption. And it burns, and they don't like it, and they hate it, and they'll hate you, and even put you to death, as they do in some parts of the world. The world is in darkness and doesn't take kindly when the light shines and exposes the evil things and the sinful ways of life. They want to get out in the dark, just like a bunch of bugs. And when you lift up the rock and the light shines in, they all scatter everywhere. They don't want the light. The light of the world is Jesus Christ, and they crucified Him. They tried to put the light out. But what did it do? Oh, it only shone brighter. It shone all over the world for all of the time until time is no more. And there'll be a time when time comes to an end. And then the Holy Spirit is going to work with God's people and help us. But time will be no more, and we'll go into eternity. And I'm going to tell you something. God loves you no matter what your sin is. He loves you. But there's going to be a time when He won't love you. When you die, if you still rejected Jesus Christ, you'll only face the love of God. You'll face the wrath of God. I hear some of these preachers saying, oh, God's so good, He never put anybody in hell. He doesn't put anybody in hell. You put yourself there. because here he says you can have eternal life, you can have heaven or hell. What do you want? And you says, well, I'm not going to take heaven. I'm not going to take Jesus. Well, then take hell. That's all. Don't blame your wife. Don't get after the preacher, the children, or anybody else. If the ball's in your pockets, in your court, and you're going to decide. And so I'm praying, oh God, may there be a multitude who'll say, oh, I see, I need Jesus. And you pray, dear Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sin. And when you do that, they'll say, I'll live for you the best I can, and I'll see you someday, and you'll be saved forever. If you made that decision, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature to help you to get started. In the meantime, read the Gospel of John. Start with that. But you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the internet on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And maybe when you write to us, you'll want to send us a gift to help us because we've got to pay our wages like anybody else. And so you should say, is this thing worthwhile? Should I spend money on this? And if you do, you just remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Every penny is accounted for by an international organization. So I'm going to pray for you now, Lord. I just thank you for everyone who's worshiped with us today. Minister to them and help them to minister to us as they pray and as they give. And Lord, to those who are on beds of sickness, and those who are shut in, and those who are in wheelchairs, and those who are going through a divorce, and those who lost their job, and those who have children that are gone astray, whatever it is, oh, just give them comfort and strength and as they put their faith in you. And you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. You told them the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And we know that because you said it. It's in the Word of God. And it's something will abide after the heaven and earth is gone. It'll be there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you in your Savior's name. Amen. And so, dear friends, we're praying you'll have a good week. And so get along just fine and just grow in the Lord and lean on Jesus. Help you to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Be sure to write to us. We're going to be looking for your letter, going to look for your support. We need your help. And so just tell your friends and maybe they'll tune us in. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll all get together. And what we do is all over the earth, we gather around the throne of grace in heaven at the feet of Jesus. And isn't that a beautiful, wonderful place to be? So God bless you. God give you a good week. God take care of you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.